Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and beer is our lifeboat.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We are the Drunk Guys, and we are here at the Finback Brewery and Taproom in Glendale, Queens, joined again by Eric, the long-suffering fan of the show. The only person we've met who's listened to the show.
And Eli, too.
Besides Eli, yeah. So thank you, Eric, for letting us back here.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah, we're glad to have you guys. Welcome back to Glendale.
I remember a little bit of last time.
So do I.
And we're starting with, I guess we're kind of what book are we doing? We're doing The Life of Pi by, not Sweet Potato, but Yann Martell.
We're going to call him Sweet Potato.
We're going to call him Yann the whole time. And so we're doing Life of Pi, which, uber famous book, came out in 2001, won the Booker, and everybody and their mother read it, including four drunken, soon-to-be drunk individuals you're listening to now. And we are starting with a beverage. Which one are we starting with?
We're going to start with Floating Weightless, which is a...
excellent. It is a Brett Ale.
It's a Brett Ale. It was aged in white wine barrels for over a year. Then we moved it to a mixing vessel, and we added kumquat. Sat for, maybe 6 more months. And then we went ahead and bottled and kegged up it. Yeah, it's only 5.5%, so I thought it'd be a nice, light, refreshing beer.
That's good for the hottest day on earth.
And I guess Floating Weightless somehow ties in with the...
That's how boats work.
Yeah.
Yeah. The majority of the book takes place on a lifeboat. We'll get to that.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheers.
Cheers. I'm going to admit, I don't know what a kumquat is. It's a thing I usually
snicker. Tina Fey once said it's the funniest word in the English language.
It is very funny. But I don't know what it looks like or tastes like.
I feel like it's kind of like a kiwi.
I think you do.
Hopefully
now.
Not cum.
I want to say like a miniature peach, but harder.
All of this is very suggestive.
I guess we're both saying
I think you're thinking of a prostate gland.
It's from Australia or New Zealand kind of area, I guess. But yeah.
Not to be confused with the series of DVDs that you own, Michael. Kumquat.
Loading Weightless.
This is delicious.
Yeah.
This is not what I expected for a Brett beer. I thought it would be more, that would be like a noticeable funk.
More bready, yeah.
I don't know what, I don't think I have anything to judge it.
We've had before.
Only a few, but we had a couple. Okay.
It has like, it's in the funk. Yeah. I don't know, is Brett necessarily a farmhouse beer or a Saison? It's like a similar kind of branch of beers, right?
Yeah, I want to say funk.
Right? Like, it's just kind of like you taste and you're like, that's something, there's a little old sock in this.
Yeah, that's not my way of answering it. But yeah, the more old sock you get, the better. So this one's a light old sock in your mouth, but you're getting a little bit more of that white wine barrel.
It does kind of, I get a lot of the wine, that's what it is.
You smell it for sure.
Yeah. This is the classiest I've ever felt.
Fingers up.
It is delicious. That is surprisingly refreshing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it does help that it's as hot as Satan's taint out here. But
we should mention, it is...
It's better now. Earlier today, it was... Ridiculous. It was the worst there ever has been.
Half a beer in, I'm feeling good.
Didn't it snow last time we were here?
What?
It was close. It snowed like a week before last time.
It was kind of dreary.
Yeah.
It was the opposite of this.
I feel like you were here like 2 months ago.
Yeah, it was like April.
Yep.
Time ceases to mean it. This is one of those fucking weird years where it snowed in April or something, didn't it?
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah. I am impressed. When I see Brett, I'm like, meh, not going to like that. This is actually really,
maybe the wine.
I'm just going to taste this one. This one's going all the way down.
This is good.
Much like someone's mother.
Pie's mom, actually. She went down to the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, she did.
Spoiler. Ooh. So the book it has like a frame. There's a frame to it where the author artificially is talking about himself.
It's like a...
And he's like, I was trying to write...
Journalist
I had written
something?
A book. Well, that's the movie, I think. In the book, he's like, I had written a book, which is true. Yann Martell had written something else before this that was not very successful. And it sucked, and nobody liked it. So then I was trying to think of another book to write, and I was going to write about Portugal in 1939 or something like that.
That sounds thrilling.
And so he, of course, was like, let me go study that in India. And then he was running out of ideas and money.
That made the most sense.
And he meets somebody, and they're like, oh, I know a story you need to hear. It's Pi's story.
Mm-hmm.
It's about cake.
Pi would never write a story about cake.
Cobblers.
They're like jets and sharks.
So he's like, you got to talk to this guy. And then the setup for it, and we shall come back to this later, is this is a story that will make you believe in God. And he's like, well, I got to hear that story, because that sounds way more interesting than Portugal in 1939.
wasn't A Night in Lisbon already written?
Is that that's a book?
Yeah, it's a World War II book about escaping to America through Portugal.
I don't know that book.
It's fine.
You know, the problem with World War II books is you know how they end. Kind of know where it's going there. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I have a strong feeling about this German commander. I think he's got some interesting ideas. You know where it's going. So that's how it starts. And then he goes and he starts interviewing Pi, who lives in Canada, right?
Yeah.
And
Toronto or some shit.
And he's an older guy. He's a middle-aged-ish man. I mean, his 40s.
Yeah, he's got a wife and kid.
The guy tells his life story.
He went on a journey.
From Pondicherry, India to Toronto.
The Pondicherry of Canada.
Yeah, well, Pondicherry was interesting because it was like the one piece of India that had been French-owned.
Yeah.
And then...
So people still spoke French and, you know, were more French than British.
Some hairier armpits.
More crepes.
Better, slightly better teeth.
The naan was all really flat and thin.
The naan. they were naan-crepes. So you read this book, right, Eric?
I did. I'm going to call it like a decade ago. I think I remember the movie a little bit better. There's a boat.
Definitely.
It goes down.
There was.
There's another boat.
And then, there's a lot of boat action.
And then, at this point, as a reader, you're like, and what am I doing for the rest of the book? Flashbacks.
Yeah. And visions.
And visions and fish and some other things.
And hallucinating.
Well, it's only the first quarter of the book has 100 chapters, but most of them are like a page.
Yeah, they're really short.
It's a short read. The first quarter, though, is in India, or like the setup. Like,
yeah.
They're not on the boats yet. But basically, Pi grows up, and well, his name is, I guess, important. I don't know.
It's because
it's just interesting. What
his uncle loves pools or something.
Yeah. His uncle
or
loves
his dad loves pools.
So he's named Piscine, which is the French word for pool, but everybody just calls him Pi.
Well, first they call him Pissing.
Yeah, well, all the kids at school call him Pissing.
That's pretty much a guaranteed. You name your child anything that sounds
and
like that.
And then the people who are even less, more like more generous, but slightly racist, they call him P-Sing. And so he's like, no, let me fix this. And so he starts raving on and on about the number pi.
Or he just memorizes a shitload of digits.
Well, that's in the movie. That doesn't even happen in the book.
No, it does.
It happens in the book.
It does, yeah.
In the book, every time the teacher introduces, he's like, who are you? And he's like, my name is Pi. And he goes to the board.
And writes
and he draws
down
a circle,
shitload of digits
and
of pi.
He doesn't write a shitload. He writes like 3.14, and I'm pi.
Well, he talks about
this is how you get the diameter of a circle.
That is true, but he does talk about remembering many, many digits and how it goes on forever, and he feels incomplete or some shit like that. I don't know.
The movie definitely makes a bigger deal about it, though.
Yeah. So he like rebrands himself, and his parents own a zoo.
I was going to say, I remember there was a zoo.
And they have a lot of animals. And
as a zoo does.
And his dad does something.
His dad shows them how fucked up nature is by saying, watch this.
Like,
and then he fucking throws a goat to a tiger.
Learn. And the mother's like, they're 10 and 8. He's like, that is time. Nature is fucked up.
Don't piss off a tiger.
Well, it's because the boy was going to go play with the tiger because he loves the tiger. The tiger named Richard Parker, by the way.
No, not at this point.
Different tiger?
It's
a different tiger.
Okay, fine.
It's like Mahesha Mahisha or something like that.
So he's going to go play with the tiger because there's a section of the book where he talks about how, all these animals were my friends and I loved them and they were very nice to me. And his father's trying to prove to him, no, you do not do that with a tiger.
Well, reading this book, you learn a whole shitload about zoology that you never thought you ever wanted to learn. It turns out you don't want to know it, but you learn a lot about how zoos work. And they're like, it's the zookeeper is the alpha, and you have to
the psychology of animals and establish who's boss.
And rhinoceroses will chill out with goats because they're in a zoo, and all sorts of weird shit happens.
The monkeys get upset and close their cages so they'll stay inside where it's safe.
Yeah, they're like that guy in the Shawshank Redemption.
Can't get out, man. Can't make it on the outside.
Red was here. So then eventually they have to sell this, and then there's also like elements of India politics, because like they're not happy with Indira Gandhi, and I don't really know anything about that at all.
They don't really say why.
She was accused of corruption.
Yeah, her dad was assassinated, but I don't think she was.
Her dad was not Mahatma.
Yeah, her dad was not Mohandas
Nehru.
Gandhi.
Oh, okay.
She was named after him, though.
Nehru's daughter. Yeah.
Well, I don't think she
the
was
actual
killed,
like
though.
Statesman guy.
No, she was assassinated.
What?
Like a car bomb or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s.
My knowledge of Indian history is pretty lacking.
Well, you don't no longer date that Indian girl, so what do you have to know it for now?
Yeah, I stopped learning.
True story.
It is true. I stopped halfway through that book. It was very long. Long history. Didn't even make it to the parts that I know about.
A lot of depressing shit.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Mughals.
A lot of stuff that happened pre-writing. So it's like, all right, well, I'll take you guys' word for it.
Put a Brahmin to it.
So another thing Pi does.
They leave Canada. That's why they leave.
I was going to talk about how he joins every religion.
That is important somehow.
Somehow.
It makes you believe in God.
Since God is going to sort of be part of this, I guess. So one thing that Pi does is he joins every religion. He's like Hindu, kind of, because his parents are Hindu. And then he joins a Christian church because there are all these missionaries. And he joins a mosque.
Yep.
And he's sort of like doing each one at the same time.
Yeah, he's like, I want a prayer rug and to be baptized.
And the religion guys are always like, hey, you can't do all that shit.
Well, they don't realize at first that he's doing all of it.
When they find out.
It's like a magical thing where
they
all
find out
run into
getting,
each other at once.
They're getting three-timed.
And they're like, what? I was going to cornhole that kid.
This little boy is cheating on me with another adult man.
And so they're like, you can only be one. And then he, of course, embarrasses the adults. And he's like, I just wanted to love God. And Gandhi said, all the religions are true. And then they're like, yeah, but, what did he know?
But some are truer than others. Was
like
it Animal
Farm?
Farm.
It's very Animal Farm, yeah. Yeah, but Four Legs
And
better.
He works on an animal farm zoo.
And so then he still, like, kind of does all the religions. He's like, I'm gonna just keep doing that. And then it doesn't matter anymore in the book.
No.
It goes away. because they go on a trip.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of pretext that ends up being like, okay.
So the family decides to sell the zoo, but they were getting the zoo land rent free, but they had to move. But what they have to do is now sell all the animals, or like bring them to other zoos, or figure out what to do with them. And a lot of the animals were going to go to a zoo in Canada, and so they were going to literally. So the family got berths, seats, or whatever on an ocean liner. Not a liner. It's a cargo ship, and all the animals are in the hold as cargo. And the family is just kind of living there with the rest of the just sailors.
And it's like the shittiest Chinese boat in the world.
I'm sure it was the cheapest thing they could find because
all the sailors were drunk all the time.
Yeah. And incompetent. And so they're sailing across from across the Pacific. Yeah. They're on their way from India over to the west coast of Canada, right? Yeah. Because they're across the Pacific.
Yeah.
And so that just reminds me. And there's a scene when he's like, I want to be all religious. He goes to the mom and she's like, here, read this book instead. And she hands him Robinson Crusoe. And he's like, I read that already. And then she's like, how about this book? And she hands him a Robert Louis Stevenson book. And he's like, wait, all those guys wrote about like getting lost at sea. Foreshadowing, methinks. There's a lot of heavy duty foreshadowing.
What did she know? And when did she know it?
I just remembered that. I was reading. I was like, oh, that's clever.
I forget. When does this book take place?
Like the
70s? 30s? Well, no. The 70s. The like late 70s, early 80s, yeah. I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's in the 70s.
And like, the narration part is like 2000, the modern day part.
Get an airplane.
Right?
The animals are very heavy.
But you don't have to ride with them. It's like, leave it a pile of hay.
Well, weren't they
It would be a much shorter book if they did that.
I think they had to go with the animals so that they would be sure that they survived. They didn't trust a bunch of drunk Chinese sailors to take care of a tiger.
Weren't they also moving to Canada? Or were they?
I think they were moving.
I think there was part of it was we're selling it and we're coming with them.
You got to make sure that the animals make it, otherwise you don't get no money.
Okay. They're going to make soup out of their penises, like tiger penis soup. That's a thing.
I thought you snort the bone so you get a boner.
Either way, that means the tiger didn't make it to the zoo.
Yeah. I mean, most of the tiger might make it.
The she-tiger now. So, yeah, that's a good point. It's one of many, many conceits you have to make in this story.
Well, I mean, flying to India today still sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe it was even worse then.
And money.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
It's still thousands of dollars now.
And how much would it cost to fly with a tiger, a bunch of chimpanzees, a zebra, a bunch of hyenas? Well,
nowadays, if you pretend it's your comfort tiger, you could probably just get in the cabin with you.
I'm pretty sure they might draw the line at comfort tiger.
Comfort tiger.
People have tried to get on planes successfully with some ridiculous comfort animals.
But comfort tiger is going to be 800 pounds.
I don't know. I mean, when I fly with my comfort emu, nobody really gives me a hard time.
The emus are dicks, though.
Yeah. They're like really dangerous.
They beat Australia in a war.
What?
That's a real thing. They're having like rampaging emu problems, and they said, go out and kill them. And they lost.
That's because the dingoes ate all their babies or something.
There were no more soldiers, yeah. They had four guys.
They needed someone to show them what was a knife.
I believe this was a knife.
That's not a knife.
That's not a knife.
They didn't know what a knife was until 1994.
Any crocodile don't need to show them. So let's have one of these beverages, since we know they're going to quickly end up at sea.
We're going with the next one.
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't look like orange juice. It's a Finback IPA. It's our flagship IPA. We've been making it since day
one. Flagship for a ship.
Yes. Yeah, there we go.
Burn.
Ooh. So yeah, it's 7.2. We always have it available, except for the last
time you guys were here.
Yeah.
Like, don't put out the really nice stuff for those guys. Mm-hmm. They have to earn it.
Save the Finback. So yeah, it's a nice IPA. It's got a little bit more bitterness than some of our other ones. There's no fruit involved in it. So
I want to say it still kind of tastes like a almost grapefruit flavor in there.
Well, the description says hint of pink grapefruit.
Well, I read like a pie, not the menu.
Yeah, so there's actually no grapefruit. What's nice about it is I can't remember what friggin' hops we put in. We brew it like every other week. I could tell you the grain profile, but 1,000 pounds of this and 800 pounds of that.
Maris otter and two row or whatever fucking.
There's otter in this?
There's no otter in this.
There's otter bee.
It's just like a you bastard. Yeah. That sealed.
Otter's more like what you use in your English style.
So it's not Maris Otter, all right. It's a American two row. That's my next guess.
That's probably close.
Nice. Not gonna. It's fine. It's a trade secret.
Man.
He told us the whole recipe, but off air. So go fuck yourself.
I can't believe what they put in it.
Real otter.
That's what it is.
It's a great beer. It is here pretty much all the time. I've been here a bunch of times, several times since we did Moby Dick, actually. Mm. It's for reconnaissance purposes.
Mm-hmm. Clearly. It's a tax write-off of research.
Yeah. I just want to make sure no other podcasts are recording here.
Have there been others?
Oh, we've actually had one on our four-year anniversary. I'm blanking on the name.
Because they sucked.
They don't matter.
Don't listen to them.
That's for sure.
I don't know. Hop something. Hop talk.
Hop talk.
Anyway, they recorded here on the 4-year anniversary, but in the back room. And they drank some beers and talked about it.
That's our thing.
I'm supposed to drink know the beers. Names of these things.
I thought we were the only ones that did that.
We should have a podcast, but also drink beer.
What? What madness is this?
I think I know what you're talking about, but I will give them no credit because I don't know if they follow us on Twitter. That's Drunk as BC. That's, well, I drink mine. That's gone now.
So with Life of Pi,
their boat gets fucked up.
A friend of mine's like, read this. It's super spiritual and religious. And then I read it, and like I had the same part where I was like, at the beginning, I do remember him being like, I'm all the religions. And then kind of like stuff happens, and I'm like, all right, am I missing all the like allegories and stuff? So I guess we can talk about that later once we get there. But I do remember being like, oh, I'm going to hate this book because it's going to be like Bible thumping.
Some,
and
alchemist bullshit.
Mm-hmm. It was The Alchemist at Sea.
Yeah, exactly.
For a lot of it.
More feelies than thoughties.
Especially,
I actually liked it, though.
I enjoyed it. The first time I read it, because I didn't know the story, I was like, this is really interesting. And then the second time I read it, I'm like, this is stupid.
Mm. I have never read it before, but I still really liked it. I mean, I also, maybe I misread it, because I did not get all the religious, I mean, I got not the obvious religious bullshit, ones. But I read a different angle on it.
If you look at the book that you borrowed from me and didn't return to me, the
bring it back next week.
End of it has...
you don't need it.
I don't, you know. It has discussion book club kind of questions, and one of them is like, the author says chapters 22 and 23 are the most important to the book. Discuss. And that's the chapter when he gets confronted by the priest.
Yeah,
the
but I still had a different take on that. But maybe that's because, I don't know, maybe I'm more pessimistic.
Could be. Well, anyway, so their ship capsizes because all the Chinese dudes are just shit-faced and not doing any sailoring.
They don't do any sailoring at all. Properly.
More like failoring.
And oh, then, fuck.
They have to like get off of the ship in the middle. He happens to like get up at night to like go check on an animal or something like that. Like, that's the only reason he survives.
He happened to be out. I don't exactly remember
taking
why,
a whiz or something.
Urination.
Probably.
Big time.
Little kids do that all the time.
Well, he's like, how old is he in the...
He's like 13?
He's a teenager, 12? Right?
Yeah, early teens, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting some pubes. That's it.
He had to wake up at night to jack off over the side of the boat.
It's been 11 hours since I last touched myself.
11 hours?
I'm about to burst. Like the ship, I'm full of semen. So then the ship sinks. I forgot why.
It's hit by a wave.
It's like leaning half over when he comes. I was like, this doesn't look good.
Yeah. It was leaning a little bit too far for a boat.
And so then he gets tossed off by some dudes. They're like, that doesn't sound right.
That's the next book.
That's awesome. Yes, don't stop. But then
it's a pie eating contest.
He gets he's like shoved off onto a lifeboat by some of the sailor dudes, and then some animals.
They're just
in the
yelling
boat
at him in Chinese, and he's like, I don't know what's going on.
But he says that in English, and they're like, I don't know what you're saying in Chinese. It's very who's on first.
Yeah.
And he ends up on a lifeboat with some creatures, like a zebra.
A zebra falls out and breaks its leg, and it's all freaking out. And then an orangutan floats over on a pile of bananas, you know, because that's, you know, they like those.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a hyena. And the hyena's a dick.
Yeah, and he sees the tiger, right? But it's not.
The tiger arrives later on another boat, and then, or another floaty thing, and then gets on board, and he's like, well, this just got real bad, because it's a tiger.
Right, so there's this, like, dying zebra, this dick hyena, and
a sassy orangutan. What was her name? It was like pancakes or waffles?
Orange juice.
Orange juice, yeah. I knew it was a breakfast
one
thing.
One of those breakfast items.
It's like pancakes, I don't know.
Speaking of orange juice, this beer actually looks like it.
Well, these are getting more appropriate as we go.
Mm-hmm.
And the Neem is probably the closest we're going to get today. Besides, yep. Floating weightless actually worked for, you know, being in a boat.
Yeah.
This one's called Cat Love. We just came out with it last week. It's a double IPA. It's 8.2%. It has that one I can never pronounce, Azuaca. Simcoe.
Ayahuasca?
Yeah, that one. It's got ayahuasca.
I thought it was
Simcoe and Mosaic.
So if I drink this, I'm going to go on a vision quest for 14 hours?
Azaka. But it definitely looks like orange juice.
Now, can I ask you, there's like, you see things are labeled like New England IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also, I see like much more rarely milkshake IPA.
That means it has lactose in it.
Is that the only real difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is this like a New England style IPA?
That is a New England, yeah.
Like it's cloudy and...
Yeah, but with the lactose ones, it leaves a little bit of the sweetness behind because the yeast are unable to ferment that, and so it leaves some of the lactose sugar behind. So you get like a sweeter IPA.
So there is lactose in this?
Not in that, although it does taste a little sweeter, but yeah, it's not a lactose IPA.
Okay.
So what makes it hazy?
Lack of filtering.
Oh, okay.
Basically. Okay. It's a little unfiltered, and then also the yeast. There's different strains of yeast that you can use, so they'll produce different color products.
I think some people put wheat in there to give it like a cloudier thing?
That could be a thing. We don't do that. But yeah, like, so you can use wheat, like beers, wheat and oat will give you a different mouthfeel and or color, and obviously flavor. But yeah, typically it's all like the two-row and pils are like your base malt. And then, yeah, the yeast are going to be kind of different.
This is delicious.
This is
very good.
Because, you know, we talked about this on previous episodes that only Eric has listened to, probably. That
I skipped one.
Oh, no, what did you skip?
Harry Potter. I haven't read Harry Potter yet.
Oh, shit.
What?
Yeah.
You've read the other books?
I would say I also have not read the Wallflower book, but I listened to it because I watched a movie and I knew there's no way I will ever read that book.
That's fair.
And
totally.
Did you listen to there? Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret?
I did. There were some interesting,
read that 100 times.
Interesting jokes in there.
You know what we had to cut out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just listened to Dune because I was like, okay, they went to McKellar and they went to Rockaway, so I got to listen to both those and make sure that I got my game going.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're less sweaty, apparently.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you.
I missed that one, so I don't know.
I wanted to compliment you guys on your editing from the last time you were here because I was like, oh, there's going to be some garbage that they're just going to put up, and it actually turned out nice.
I didn't remember recording most of it.
We cut out about an hour.
Yeah, we cut out about an hour. No, yeah. We'll cut out about 45 minutes, and then we do the thing we usually do, which is speed it up by 20%.
Okay.
And because it was so long, 20% is like half an hour.
Okay. Yeah, I was did they re-record half of this?
No.
There are no overdubs.
The magic of editing. Yeah.
And now we're getting decent enough that you could almost not tell when we do it.
Oh. Yeah, there's some.
Well, actually, our other McKellar NYC episode came out today.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't listened yet. I'm sorry.
Just got posted.
Well, you've been working.
Slacking.
What was it?
Totally.
What book was that?
The Natural.
Robert Redford.
Oh, that's right. The last one was the Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one was much weirder.
I can't believe you've actually listened to us.
Somebody's got to listen.
That's true.
That's what I say.
Yeah. Usually it's just me. I say, you missed a terrible joke we have to cut out, guys. We have to resubmit this one.
That's not going to fly with anybody. I'll tell you what, if you ever want to read Harry Potter, we've only done the first three. If you get up to number four, you could join us.
And need like 8 months.
It's really
You could
really
ship them out in a day. It's for kids.
The fourth one's long.
Oh, right. Yeah, we always talk about how long it takes you to read. How long did it take you guys to get through this book?
In terms of a dump? Is that what you're going for?
How many dumps?
Life of Pi.
Life of Pi, I read on a car trip. So I had it was a car trip to Maine and back in 3 days. So I finished it mostly in the ride up and finished it on the way back.
You don't get car sick from reading in the car?
No.
Man, you bastard.
Was someone reading it
to you? I get car sick just thinking about reading in the car.
I wasn't driving.
Well, yeah, I should hope not.
I understand that.
Yeah,
you don't have a driver's license.
I have a driver's license. I got it last year.
At 30.
Yeah, I was 30.
New Yorker.
In New York. What the fuck do we need a driver's license for? Can't even park that shit nowhere.
True. When I read it the first time, it took me like 2.5 days. Like, I had like an hour and a half commute every day.
Yeah.
So I just knocked it out pretty fast.
Yeah, I knocked it out because I had nothing to do. I was sitting in a car. But it's still a pretty quick.
It's a breezy
read. It's pretty quick. Also, because every chapter is 2 pages, so you feel like you're making progress emotionally.
The first time I read it was a physical copy. This time I read it on the Kindle. And on the Kindle, it has that thing where it's like, 1 minute left in this chapter. 1 minute left, and then you're like, I could do one more minute. I could do one. And then ever since, like, 6 minutes, fuck you, book. And then I put it down.
That's the beginning of a chapter.
Yeah, when the start of it, you get to the next chapter, and it'll say, you know, sometimes some books are much longer pacing, so it's like 27 minutes in this new chapter. You're like, I don't want to do that now. I'm going to go.
It's a long fucking chapter.
Take my nose. Well, that's how, like,
some chapters are
some
like
other
that.
Books are.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are, 100 chapters. Unless you're reading Lord of the fucking Rings, it's, you know.
Yeah. This is more than that.
Anyway, they're on the sea. They're at sea. The hyena is a dick. And
it's just a small boy and 4 angry animals.
Wait, the hyena eats a zebra?
The hyena eats a zebra. The zebra is dying.
Yeah.
And at night, the hyena rips off the deer off the zebra's leg, which is all fucked up. And the zebra is dying even quicker, but still alive.
And it just eats alive, though. Like,
it rips out its stomach and starts eating its organs, and then it dies.
And then the orangutan's like, no.
The orangutan's like, hey, chill. I'm going to chill over here. And then the hyena goes to the orangutan, and the orangutan's like, I could take you, but it's never had to fight anything before because it's an orangutan that lives by themselves in Borneo.
In a zoo.
Yeah.
Even though earlier in the book they say how orangutans have the strength of 10 men.
They do, but he also says that an orangutan has never had to fight anyone, so it does not know how to fight. So he just swats wildly at the hyena, but, you know, all you do is bite them in the neck once and they're down.
And then that's the end of hash browns or whatever it's.
I think
orange
it's
juice.
Scramble? Scrapple?
Scrapple.
Scrapple.
Scrapple the orangutan.
Well, and then it's just the hyena and the boy, and then he discovers, oh no, underneath this big tarp that I failed to realize is an 11,000 foot tiger.
11,000 foot? It's a Godzilla tiger.
It's a Godzilla tiger. It's very tall.
It's a huge boat there, and the lifeboat is perhaps bigger than the ship.
Yeah. It's the size of a Chrysler building.
I don't think that's 11,000 feet either.
I don't know. Maybe it is. I've never measured it. Have you?
Touche. So then the tiger is like, I'm going to go eat that hyena. And it kills that hyena.
Wait.
The hyena starts shit.
When did the tiger show up?
It was just there.
It was hiding under the tarp. And the kid's, the kid's like cowering away from the hyena because it's a fucking mean thing.
And then Richard Parker shows up.
And suddenly the tiger is underneath his legs. He's like, oh shit, the tiger's been here the whole time. Yeah. I'm really not observant.
No, that's what he says. He says, really, I should have noticed that.
You should have noticed this fucking huge tiger on this tiny boat.
Doesn't he throw is this at the point where he throws the rat to the tiger? Or that's later, right?
That's later, after the tiger kills the hyena.
Oh, yeah. So then the tiger kills the hyena because, you know.
Because lunch. The hyena is there, and the tiger's like, I'm going to start some shit. And it fucking just beasts him. Literally, because he's a beast.
Yep.
And then the rest of the book is him and the tiger hanging out.
Yeah. In like a strange sitcom situation.
It's like The Odd Couple.
It's like, hey, but my side tiger. Of the boat. You don't piss over here, tiger. And then he pees on his side.
Yeah, but the kid mentioned several times that he does not poop much. They keep talking about, like, neither of them do very much,
you're,
but the
you're
kid...
You're like crazy dehydrated. Yeah, you don't
and you don't
much.
Eat enough.
And not eating much.
But they talk about, like, yeah, I just didn't... He says, later in the book, he's like, the pain in his stomach. What am I feeling? What is this horrible thing? Like, and then I defecated. I hadn't done it for months. So it's like, oh my God, what?
Months?
It was some absurd amount of time because he's barely getting any food.
I think in hours. Hours.
I thought you said
it's been almost double digit hours.
An
guys.
Hour.
Like, crisis mode.
It's been 2 hours. What's wrong with me?
We're at DEFCON 1. I'm sorry, DEFCON number 2.
Oh, man.
So yeah, he survives for, I think it's 227 days.
It's the longest time ever.
Yeah.
And is there another boat that comes along, like a raft or something? Do they switch boats?
He gets a life raft. He ties it to the back of the boat. So he can hang out on the raft, and the tiger's the boat, because you don't want to hang out with the tiger.
Is there just a bunch of rotting animals for 200 days?
Well, the tiger eats them all.
Yeah.
I mean, he ate, like, all the zebra?
I mean, the choice shots.
I think the hyena eats a lot of it first, and then the tiger eats it. And then I think the kid just throws, like, the scraps off, because it's just going to rot and be really stinky.
Yeah, and he has, like, little ration things he discovers in the lifeboat.
He has, like, 1,000 biscuits.
And 124 cans of water, or something like that.
That's a lot of water.
And he also finds the solar still things to get his own water.
And he makes
little
tails that hang off the back of their raft boat combo. He becomes quite a little survivalist.
And starts to learn how to fish and catches turtles.
And he was a vegetarian. Up until this point, he was a vegetarian, and so he quickly renounces that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of vegetables out there.
Oh, look, a Whole Foods is just floating here in the sea. I can't afford it.
When's he start tripping?
The whole thing is an acid trip. The whole thing is an acid trip.
Once they introduce that God figure to him.
There was never a boat. He actually did take a plane.
Yeah, then he floats in the sea. And then there's a lot about him establishing dominance over a tiger.
You got to pee all over the boat, and you got to get real big and just yell at it.
And the whistle pisses off that tiger.
Well, not just pisses off the tiger, but because the tiger associates the whistle with feeling seasick,
oh, yeah.
Then the whistle starts to be, you know, how he can establish dominance.
It's a good thing tigers are fucking stupid, apparently. Whenever he blows that whistle, I feel like I'm going to puke.
Thanks, Skinner. I'm going to classically condition this tiger.
This tiger's from the zoo? Does the kid know the tiger at all?
It's Dick Parker.
Dick Parker, yeah.
I mean, he knows it, or he just knows the name of it?
That's its name.
It was raised in the zoo, so that's why also that it fear like humans are its boss, and it knows, like, oh, shit, this thing is going to feed me. But they named it Richard Parker because the hunter who caught it was Richard Parker. And the paperwork got fucked up, and they named the tiger Richard Parker.
And the hunter was named Tiny.
Oh, that was Thirsty.
Thirsty.
Thirsty, because like it was drinking from a river or a puddle or something.
Not a dick.
He was drinking from a dick.
I don't know. Richard Parker is a better name than Thirsty.
It's far more formal. More regal for a thing like a tiger.
He's Dick Parker in the porno version.
Dick Parker, yeah.
Life of Pie, but a different kind
Part
of pie.
Part 2.
Life of Cream Pie.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Life comes from cream pies.
Dick Parker. We were talking about that all day, Dick Parker. So then they flounder around in the sea for a while. I mean, it's really not that exciting.
Yeah.
And then there's like random asides. It kind of goes back to the present day, and Yann Martell's character is like, I noticed
Sweet Potato Martell.
Sweet Potato Martell. And he's always like, there's always food in his house, and he's always making spicy foods that I was stupid and said I like spicy food.
Blew out his colon.
I'm just shitting blood.
it's very spicy.
And I thought his wife was making that for me, and I wanted to yell at her, but no, it's just him. He's giving me that serious, serious
he's
enema food.
He's just a dick. I suffer, therefore you shall too.
Every cupboard is filled with cans of food. Like, there's a random, and then, oh, look at this room. It's filled with idols to every religion ever, including Billy Idol. And then it just cuts back and forth, like... Mm-hmm. And those parts were kind of stupid. I mean, I understand what purpose they serve, but...
Yeah. No, it's a little interjections.
Just kind of like make up to...
The character of who he is now.
And also, if you're an astute reader, you see like, oh, wow, look, even before he goes on the ship, there's a thing where it's like, he's got food everywhere. Like, why does he have food everywhere? Is there going to be a time when he didn't have food? Did he live through the Depression? And then you figure out what.
There was a depression in Canada in the 80s that no one knows about.
There's also been a depression in India since it started.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks, kinda, Raj. Yeah.
All right, should we get more beers?
We should get more beers.
The answer is always yes.
Good point.
So yeah, I, through the magic of editing, have acquired three more beers. So we're going to start off with the Something Mosaic, which is an IPA. It's 6.8%. Yes, it looks, it's the one that looks like orange juice again.
This is healthy.
This one is hopped with
It looks like an orangutan.
It smells fucking delightful.
Yes, it's Mosaic, Mosaic, and Mosaic. So we've had a string of a couple beers where we use a similar malt base, but then we dry hop them differently. So we use one was Something Citra, and this one's called Something Mosaic.
So this is
Mosaic.
If you the other one would be like focusing on what Citra is. This one is just Mosaic.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, this is a very familiar IPA taste.
Yeah, it's a very popular IPA.
I'm having a hard time flavor naming what these flavors are. Like, something almost...
It tastes like a not overly bitter IPA.
The fantastic menu says notes of berry and subtle papaya.
There's a lot of different kinds of berry, and I don't know what a papaya tastes
like. If only I'd ever eaten a papaya in my life.
Is it like a potato, Mike?
It might be like a potato.
But
I don't know if Eric heard that episode where I don't know what a pear tastes like.
Really?
He's never had a pear... Like a ripe pear in his life, he thought, like, they thought they were awful. Like they all taste like cardboard. Like, dude,
it's
they're not ripe.
That's the episode where we talk about this.
It's like, I don't like pears; they just taste like potatoes.
Like a wet potato, and the guys are like, "You're a moron." Apparently,
I feel sad.
All
for
these
you.
Bananas, you know those green fruit,
the green dick fruits.
It's so bitter and dry.
Plantains.
So,
those are the bigger, blacker plantain bananas.
Earthier.
They're sweeter. They're sweeter when they're black.
Is there something almost like? I want to say peppery. That's not the right word. Because I don't know. I mean, there's a shit ton of berries.
Chuck Berry?
Chuck, yes. Marvin Berry, his cousin in Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm. I don't taste any pepper. No.
I don't know what to kind of call that. I don't know what,
pepper berry?
I guess I have to eat papayas. I guess I have to find out what those taste
like. Yeah, I don't know. Is that an orange one on the inside?
It's a green on the outside. And like, yeah. It has those like big black seeds in the inside that look like pearls.
They put them a lot in fancy drinks.
Fruit punch.
Like fruit for smoothie shit.
Mm-hmm. Or weird brunch things. By weird, really? I mean brunch things.
Brunch is weird. It's just early lunch or late breakfast. Get over it.
Yep. It's really 95% of brunch is breakfast food.
Mm, yes.
It's just that you could have a mimosa.
Yeah.
It's socially acceptable to drink at brunch.
Breakfast with alcohol.
It should be called alcohol.
We used to call breakfast with alcohol at my house breakfast. And I'll tell you, since my wife never listens
to this,
there are days when I'm home alone like during the week, like I have a day off, and I'll drop her off at the train, and it's like 9:15 in the morning. I'm like, it's really hot. I'm going to have a beer.
Yeah, it's October.
I mean, you've already got your day started at that point.
I mean, I'm ease into it.
Yeah. Technically, if you're awake, the day has started.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 12 o'clock somewhere, you know.
10 o'clock?
Whatever time is socially acceptable by you.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. If you're at brunch.
Exactly, yeah.
People could be at brunch right now.
Yeah. Like on 3-day weekends, people do brunch on the Monday. Like, why can't I do it? Like, maybe it's just my 3-day
weekend. But it's a Wednesday and I'm by myself.
And I'm not eating eggs.
Not wearing pants.
Yeah, it's a casual, business cash brunch.
Very casual.
The business is drinking. So this is delicious. I don't know how to name that fruit flavor, but I'm going to trust you that's papaya. But it is very familiar. I see Mosaic in a lot of beer.
Yeah.
You know, write-ups.
Would you say that the flavor is made up by a lot of other smaller flavors?
It's made of tiny little ones that add up together as a picture of a bigger flavor.
Yeah.
That's what we strive for.
It's not the first time we've used that joke, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
No, we already did it.
Can we make like a Moses joke out of that somehow?
Yes,
a sea Mosaic? Yeah. Like this one lets its people go. This commands you to drink it 10 times?
15, Michael.
That's right, 15.
We've often wondered about all the flavors.
Wandered the desert.
For 40 years.
Drinking Mosaic.
And he didn't make it.
Mana from the heavens.
The time it rained shitty bread. Like, hey, you can make it rain anything. You gave us shitty bread. Thanks, God, dick.
That's a good segue, actually, back to the book, where it's all about God making
shitty rain. It does rain flying fish.
And then the tiger just eats them?
Yeah. And then the kid catches a bunch. And he beats the shit out of them until they're dead.
Well, you don't want to eat live fish. You're not Gollum.
That's how it's fresh.
So then they land on a weird island.
A lot of stuff happens before the island, but it's all the same stuff. So, yeah, you can just kind of skip ahead.
And they just, you know, then the tiger kind of got
also,
grumpy with me.
There's a storm, and he loses the life raft and all the stills, and he's just on the boat with the tiger, and all of his supplies are fucked. More fucked than a small boy on a tiger island boat. Tiger
should
boat.
Should be.
Yeah. Tiger boat.
That was the working title of the book, was Tiger Boat. And then it was Small Boy in a Tiger Boat Island. And then he settled on Life of Pi.
it flowed better. The title was way too literal.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember any of those details because I kind of skipped
it. It lands on this island where there are a billion meerkats. So it's just floating in the middle of the
timons,
ocean.
They're called,
the
they are timons. So many timons.
It's just this sort of lush jungle.
Because all the characters from Lion King that are appropriate right now. I mean, the ones that were injured might have had a scar, but that's a bit for the Lion King.
Oh, there weren't any tigers in Lion King.
There were not.
No. There were hyenas.
There were, yeah. There
one Ed. Of them was Whoopi Goldberg.
Lions.
Banzai and Shanzi, I think.
And Ed, right?
And Ed. He was the special hyena.
He was a low hyena, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or he was just really high. He thought everything was hilarious.
Wasn't Cheech Marin the voice of one of them?
That was Cheech, I think.
And he was Ed. No. No, Cheech was Banzai.
The one that wasn't Whoopi Goldberg that also was fast speaking.
The Ed one was someone else.
It's like Bobcat Goldthwait. Probably not him, but that kind of
was George Clooney.
Not.
After he was after his success as like Turkey Number 11 on South Park?
That was Seinfeld.
Was it Jerry Seinfeld was that?
Yeah.
Wasn't
Turkey Number 3.
Was George Clooney
the he was the heart surgeon.
Oh.
Or he was Stan's gay dog also.
Yeah,
was it Gilbert Godfrey?
Could be.
Or no, he was in Aladdin.
Yeah, he was Aladdin.
He was Iago.
Yeah, he had a large part.
Iago.
With like actual words.
Yeah, my bad.
And actual shouting. So anyway, he sort of,
so none of them
finds
right.
An island of like lush jungle in the middle of the ocean. And it is a very, very strange place because there are a million meerkats living in the trees. But the trees are still somehow just floating. It's not like he says
it's like
there's
like
land there.
It's like a giant root ball.
It's like a mangrove.
Yeah, I thought it was like in Florida, the mangrove.
Which is a great name for a gay bar.
I said, all right.
So
you
anyway.
Put the man in mangrove.
So there are a million meerkats.
Life of Guys. Starring Dick Parker.
So there are a million meerkats. And Richard Parker can finally eat enough. And then he just goes out and explores the island.
And the meerkats have no idea what a predator is. So they just get slaughtered wholesale.
Walk into its mouth.
Fucking Richard Parker shows up just covered in blood and gore because they just stand there as he eats them. The other one's like, hey, cool, man.
It's like a bear and salmon during spawning season. It just like just reaches out and grabs them.
Yeah.
That's all he has to do.
And they keep diving into those little pools and fish just float up for everyone to eat.
I don't know why he left. It sounded like a pretty sweet place.
Well sounded pretty magical.
There's like teeth coming out of the leaf things.
Yeah,
right?
He sounded pretty magical, and then he like climbs up into a tree.
He goes back into the boat at night because he just feels safe there because he's been there for 11 years. And eventually he spends the night on the island because all the meerkats run up into the trees at night. And he's like, that's weird because meerkats don't climb trees. They live in the plains of Africa. And then he finds out it's because the island is fucking carnivorous.
Yeah,
it's like
eats people.
Giant Venus flytrap.
Because he finds human teeth.
Oh yeah, there's teeth inside the
flowers.
Yeah, in the flowers or in the teeth or in the fucking fruit in the tree is full of teeth.
Human teeth. And after that he gets Richard Parker and they get back on the boat and they get the fuck out of there.
I'm getting out of here, but I'm taking my tiger.
Come now. Cha cha. And it runs out covered in meerkat debris.
And he gets nice and fat again.
And then they float away until he lands in Mexico.
Yep. And this is basically the end where
Richard Parker walks away into the jungle and doesn't even look back to say, hey man. Peace out.
And that's the thing that bothered him the most.
Would you say that he doesn't even pause?
I would say that, yeah.
He gets whiskered away. Just, gone. And Pi was feline, not very well after that.
What's it saying? He really showed his stripes?
Well, because they could only have so much time together, perhaps a finite amount of time, which leads us to this next beverage, I think.
Ooh, the next one available. It's called Finite Element. It's another IPA at 7.5%. It's a Citra Meridian and Belma. Belma, you don't see everywhere.
I've never heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, and then Meridian is a little less everywhere. It's kind of more, Meridian's a little bit more of a honeydew melon kind of a flavor.
Ooh. A honeydew melon is the least flavorful of melons.
Yeah, exactly. And then.
And so everything has honeydew melon flavor.
Mm-hmm. And then Citra is, you know, Citra.
Which, what would you say Citra tastes like?
Grapefruit. Oh,
okay.
Fruit and melon.
This is really nice.
It's lovely.
I actually do get the melon flavor, maybe only because you put it into my head, but...
I forget. Nobody here likes sours, necessarily.
I'm okay with sours, some of them.
It depends on how sour.
But I want to say, you, Nate, don't like IPAs?
generally.
No. But the ones I've had here have been okay, because they're not just like, let's see how much I can make you fucking bitter.
Yeah, dirty sock in the mouth kind of thing.
It's just like, ugh.
Yeah,
I think IPAs are maybe the pendulum is swinging back,
yeah,
and it's not just like, let's see how fucked up I can be.
There's like two different types of IPAs. There's the that bitter West Coast malty thing, which I think generally when someone says, oh, I don't like IPAs, that's what I think they mean. Like,
yeah, because the New England ones have all been great. Every New England one I've had have been like, this is much closer to like, it's I don't want to say it's closer to a Belgian.
Yeah,
but
it's
a little more fruity.
It's swinging that way. A little more, the esters are fruitier. So it's swinging more that way for you. Then,
I do swing that way, yeah.
I do too. I definitely swing towards the more New England.
Swinging around a mangrove.
So are those the two, you're saying there's a West Coast, and then is that essentially an East Coast thing? Are we getting into a 1990s rap dispute?
Yes. Soon there will be bodies.
All about Pac.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's how it started, though, is, like, The Alchemist, I think, is probably the one that gets a lot of credit for starting that New England-style IPA, where it's really hazy, not as bitter, a little more fruity. And so he kind of, or they...
John Kimmicher or something like that?
Yeah.
His name? We did them a few, when we did The Alchemist, we got five of their beers.
Oh, yeah? That's awesome. Man, you must have drove.
I went to Stowe for a weekend, I went with my wife, my in-laws, you know, both her parents, and her sister, and her boyfriend, and me and the boyfriend divided, like, there's a limit per person what you could buy,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I'm buying three persons limit of everything, and they're like, that's a lot of beer, but here it is, and then it filled up every refrigerable thing in my house.
That's awesome. I still haven't been up there. I know he's opened, like, a new spot there, and I know he was, like, doing, like, he contracted out, I think, some of it, so, like, that's how you can now see, like, Hetty Topper, like, in bars randomly here and there. Or
for, like, $15 a can.
And even, like, Focal Banger, you can find it around. It's, like, even, like, 4 years ago, I'd be like, oh, my God, I need this for $15. Yes.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I'm just going to go up the street and get it for
$13. If you go to, like a really savvy beer spot, they will have it from time to time. But if you go to Stowe, Vermont, it's, like, every place that sells anything, they have either Hetty Topper or a Hetty Topper product.
Stuff. Yeah.
Like, hey, do you want a Hetty Topper cheese? Okay. It's called Chetty Topper. I definitely want it.
Yeah, so they make cheese, too.
Well, people will buy it, and then they'll use it. Do you want Hetty Topper candles?
So they're the source of the entire economy of Vermont.
They're the LeBron James of Stowe, Vermont.
Yeah.
They ditched and moved to L.A.?
Not yet.
But anyway, yeah, so the New England style, like, even 5 years ago, wasn't commercially around, and now it's definitely...
Yeah, I never remember
it. It's like the last year or so, you see it a lot now.
Yeah, so now there's, like, a I don't know what I'll call it, a backlash against the New England, and it's where people are doing, like, the Brett, not the Brett, anyway, it's a clear IPA where they're using...
Clear? Like non-hazy. Not colorless.
No, it's not Crystal Pepsi.
It's
IPA.
Sprite, not Zima.
It's pretty close to clear, though. And they're using champagne yeast. So it's like a fizzy, clear IPA.
It's like super dry, I bet.
No haze. Yeah, exactly. I haven't actually had one yet. But so that's like the next thing. The other thing that was out for a minute was glitter IPAs.
With glitter in it?
But Mariah Carey made it or something?
Yeah.
When you poop, it looks like diamonds?
I haven't had one yet of those either.
Why do they call it glitter?
I think you're messing with us.
It literally has like a food-grade glitter in it.
What?
Yeah. So
I thought you were making...
No,
I made a terrible joke thinking it was... What?
No.
Goldschläger, the beer?
No, so there's some places that are doing it. I haven't seen it anywhere in New York City yet. It's like one of those things that if I see it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy it. Cause
is that like the fireball equivalent of beer?
Yeah.
It's just for douchey bros and 19-year-old girls.
Yeah, like you see the video. I've seen videos online. I'm like, oh, I guess it looks like a beer with a bunch of glitter in it. Why?
I don't want that.
Yeah, so that doesn't seem to have caught on. But this other thing seems like maybe it will. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
You've got to find a book to do that for then.
The glitter? Or
glitter,
the
novelization.
The novelization of glitter, yes.
Exactly.
I bet it exists.
Anything that takes place in Studio 54.
You just have to find somebody that made it. I know that someone up in Buffalo did it.
Oh, that's a quick 9-hour drive.
Yeah.
Glitter beer.
And I think it also was, it's like a Korean restaurant that also brews or something like that. So that's
that
the closest
makes
one I
all
know
all
of.
The sense.
We could do Push because Mariah Carey was in Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Yeah,
she was a social worker.
Yes. That was the most depressing movie I've
watched.
Yeah,
that was like a relentless gut punch, and then at the end you get AIDS.
Yep.
Just like, you know. Precious did.
I watched that right after I moved here. I was like, oh, I live in Harlem. I should watch a Harlem movie. Watch that with my girlfriend. I was like, I need to go take a shower. Like,
I need to peel off all of my skin with a cheese grater.
This is rough.
I'll never be clean again.
Yep.
Did you ever see there's an episode of The Office where in Michael's car, they're listening to the audiobook of the novelization of Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire?
Oh, my gosh.
So many layers.
Yeah, that wasn't a fun.
That's not a good introduction to Harlem at all.
Oh, it was rough.
Yeah.
It was
rough. Gotta watch something else to like balance that out.
What else takes place in Harlem?
Luke Cage.
I watched Harlem Shuffle after that. I have watched Luke Cage.
No, that's the porn version.
Different movie. Luke Cage. Yeah, I've watched that.
Is that Johnny Cage's brother?
Yes, it is.
Nick Cage.
Oh. How many Cage? There's a lot of Cages.
There are, yeah.
What the hell are we talking about? So, this is... That was... I drank mine and you took my cup. That was another hazy thing. So, are you guys switching to doing more of those? You're just kind of doing whatever you feel like here?
As in, are we making more hazy IPAs?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be more of them now than a few months ago.
No, I mean, I was going to say, I think we generally have been doing that. Like, it's definitely more than we were doing, like, 4 years ago when we first opened. But I'd say in the last year, we've definitely been doing a lot of the New England-style IPAs. So it seems like we've done more Pilsner, Lager, Kolsch, and, like, barrel-aged stouts lately, though. So that might be it, too. So, like, there's less IPAs around because we're doing other stuff.
Barrel-aged is my favorite. Barrel-aged stouts are my favorite. Mm. Though when we were at McKellar NYC, the guy was saying that, like,
he loves Kolsch.
Which, it has that umlaut over the O. Shouldn't you pronounce that stupidly, then?
Kolsch.
I thought the umlaut means it makes it a strong form of whatever letter it is.
Oh.
So it's like Kolsch.
Well, I'll tell you from years of singing in chorus in college, which I did.
Chorus.
That normally you like, essentially, like the way we were taught to, and this might just be because it makes you pronounce it close in a singing setting versus like actually how you'd speak in Germany.
It's like how the Spice Girls sound American when they sing.
You'd like basically like make like a different vowel shape with your mouth and then say the other sound. So like Kielsch, and you sound like an idiot. And then he was like, yes, that's what I want you to sing. So that's all I know. And the guy seemed to understand German.
I feel like Kolsch sounds more German, but that's because I'm basing it on nothing.
Not American?
Yeah.
It seems like it would goose step across Belgium that way.
It definitely did.
Yeah, I noticed Sam at McKellar said Kolsch. And then Ethan at Rockaway was like, yeah, ESB. And I'm like, I drink a because you always
mm-hmm. ask the same question. Like, yep.
What do you drink the most of? And I'm like, I definitely drink the most of our sours because they're the lower ABV. But what I want to drink the most of is our IPAs, like especially the.
It's hard to pound 9% beers because you die.
My girlfriend asks questions when I'm like, I'm on my 6-1, so I don't get to do that anymore. But four sours, and then she just looks at me and scolds.
Isn't that the love?
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, dear.
But
I thought you would have liked this triple IPA.
It's my job.
I have to do this.
I work there in product testing.
It's like you left 4 hours ago. I don't care.
They'll fire me if I don't do it.
Putting in OT.
But yeah, so I wouldn't say, like, we've upped our production of everything. So we've upped our production also of, like, lager, pilsner, like, all that lighter stuff. And, like, if you follow the industry, they're all everybody's like, the trend is that everybody's like, instead of just making all these IPAs, we'll make now other stuff. And I want to be like, well, the trend is we all opened 4 to 5 years ago and we needed a bunch of money. And so we made a bunch of IPA because that's what everybody's buying. And now we can finally be like, cool, let's make some other stuff. Yeah.
That
like,
makes sense.
So, I mean, it's a little bit of both. Like, we're not like, oh, the industry needs us to make that. It's also we're kind of
like a chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah. We don't want to make 4 IPAs a week. Like, that kind of gets old in 6 years.
You guys made a shit ton of different IPAs, though.
Yeah, we do. I think that's the way the owners would say it.
I'm still waiting for that fat mango to come back.
Dude, we're canning it next week?
God fucking damn it, man. Second time.
I believe that's right. I want to say it's next week it's coming out. It's either next, you know, like the 12th or the 20th or something like
Got
that.
Got a few months off. You can come back.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that.
I want to call it my favorite beer we've done.
I think you said some last time you're like, you were hoping that would come back.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited by that. We have some beers I like, but that one's like went so fast and I was like flipped tables over and screamed. So.
And if you ever get to meet Eric, that doesn't seem like his MO.
No, the calmest man I've ever met.
Make me more.
Need my mango drink.
Mango, I think it's drank. Mango drank.
That's true. It's pronounced drank. It's got an umlaut on it.
Drank
over the A. It's an umlaut over an I. It's a drank. It's like an sound.
Like a, okay.
I ask about allegories and all that stuff yet?
Well, we got to talk about the end.
Oh, yeah, like we're right there, but I'm with you, Eric.
It's the big reveal. So, okay. So,
the big reveal.
Pie. gets rescued, basically.
He drifts into Mexico.
Yeah, into Mexico, and then they realize that he's been shipwrecked.
And ice separates him from his parents. Yeah. Oh, wait, sorry, that already nature did that.
Other country.
Not trying to get into the United States.
Let's go right to Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's America light.
He gets rescued, while he's in the hospital recovering, some representatives from the Korean...
It was Japanese-owned ship, but the crew was entirely Chinese. Because they outsourced like we do.
So anyway, owners send some people to go talk to him because he is the only... They go to go talk to Pai because he is the only survivor of the ship. Yeah. He's the only one. And so he talks to them for a while and tells them the whole story of how, they just dumped the sailors, dumped him off the boat. And then he took in all these animals like the orangutan and the hyena and the zebra and the tiger. And then he tells them about how he survived with the tiger for something like 8 months.
227 days.
Something like 8 months. And then he tells them his whole story. And then after he tells them the story, they talk to each other for a minute and they come back and they say, we don't believe you.
Some of this is bullshit.
Is that how they talk?
Very dramatically.
Oh, no. Oh, so does.
I took Japanese. It's cool. I know this.
Subarashi.
It means well
this
done.
This is nuts. This is nuts. Well
done. Or like super.
Like you want your hamburger well done.
It's like you did a good job.
Okay.
When I was in class, they'd be like, we had to start every class in junior year of high school. And we're like, all right, one person every day, and there was 9 kids in Japanese class, to say, like, whatever the traditional Japanese starting of class thing is, and you'd be like, everyone stand up, everyone bow, and now sit down. You'd say that those directions in Japanese. And if you said it well, with, like, good timing, the sensei would be like, oh, Michael-san, subarashi, arigato. You'd sit down, you'd not make eye contact. It was great. I learned a lot. And occasionally, we'd get to eat food. I learned a shit ton.
Well, do you remember stand, sit, bow?
Chakseki was one of them, and kiritsu was like either attention or like stand up, and then like chakseki was like take a bow, and then I forget what sit down was, maybe ren, and then mai was the term for like the pause between. And because I was also a music nerd, people who are musicians have excellent mai, so do you. And I was like, okay, I just want to play guitar and like get a girl to touch my penis eventually. That would be super
one
achi.
Day this will be true.
Super achi.
Arigato. Kudasai, you know, hand jabo desu. So I forget where we were. Sorry.
So anyway, the Japanese representatives tell Pai, we don't believe you.
Because his story's ridiculous.
Yeah, it completely.
It's an asinine tale.
It's a zebra, not an ass. But anyway.
Yes. What about a zonkey? That's a real thing.
That is, yeah.
Half zebra, half
donkey. Zebra donkey?
It's a zonkey.
So anyway.
And then he's like, well, how about this
version? How about this story? And then he just tells them an entirely different story. This one, completely horrifying. And you're going to have to help me remember all the details about it.
I think you know what will help us remember it is this beer.
That's never been said before.
Only on the Drunk Guys Book Club. And this is Spirit of the Dead Watching, because they're voyeurs.
And there are definitely going to be some dead people in this next story.
Ooh, that smells fantastic.
This is only 12%.
Oh, only 12?
Oh, that is delicious.
Oh, dear God. That's heavy.
I feel like coming out of my pores instantly.
Yeah.
It's like milk.
Sweating it out.
Sweating balls here. It says just an Imperial Stout. It is a really good one. Now, is this in any way related to the Between the Dead, the other crazy stout?
No, so the Between the Dead is our barrel-aged Harambe.
Never forget.
Never forget. So the Spirit of the Dead is completely different beer.
It's made with real bits of gorilla, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Made real bits of Harambe.
Between the Dead's only 10%. Spirit of the Dead, 12%.
That's because they're past dead.
Yes.
And the stronger alcohol.
They've been left to sit longer.
Yeah. They're fermenting.
It's distilled.
I don't know. I don't even know where the name's coming. There's so many cemeteries in Glendale and in Queens in general, so both of these are plays off of... There's a ton of cemeteries here. I feel like we had this one last time, because I remember the Fruit Leather Abyss of Darkness... being
that's pretty extreme.
That is amazing.
And I think we were like, oh, it'd be a good name of a beer and or a band.
We talked about that.
Fruit Leather Abyss of Darkness. So you guys might have had this before you forgot that you had
that's
it.
1,000 beers ago.
Yes.
It is a lot of beers ago.
It's 1,000 beers.
It's still delicious.
Thank you.
It is still, I don't know what toffee tastes like, frankly.
Toffee?
Yeah, there's one of those caramel toffee.
Isn't that like boiled caramel or fried caramel? It's sugar.
Old people
candy. It's like a dark sugar.
Werther's?
It's the stuff that makes your teeth fall out when you chew it.
A hint of Werther's and grandma. It actually tastes better than that, I should say.
This is actually, and it's very sweet, but not too much. I like this.
It's not syrupy.
That's
sugar.
It's not as heavy as Imperial Stouts can be.
Mm. Some of them are like molasses, the beverage.
Yeah. It's like, it's sticking.
This is really nice. And there is like just a hint of like a roasted kind of like flavor in there, so it's not like burnt coffee that you taste a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But there's enough of something, so it's like It's not. There's like something balancing out the sweetness. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. You can.
Am I trying to say? I don't know. Trying to say, I should say.
Well, no. So it's the malt again that you're using. You can use a ton of that dark malt, or you can use a little bit of it and then use some of the lighter malt. And if you use the lighter malt, then I think you don't end up having like an overly sweet beer. It also depends on how long you boil it. So you could have like a 4-hour boil or a 12-hour boil, and that's going to affect some of the sugar, but also like the ABV of it. So I want to say this is a little bit longer boil than normal for us, but I don't think I'm going crazy on it. I don't think I'm going crazy on the
malts. Is there an upper limit on boils?
No. There's been some crazy ones like, oh, I did a 12-hour boil or whatever.
There's no like 36-hour boil.
Not that I know of.
Earth, not just here.
We could do it. Let's try it.
What would happen?
It's crazy enough to work.
I mean, like, I guess what would happen is eventually the water boils off, and then you just got, like, this sugar laying on the bottom.
Big
edible beer.
Yeah, so you would be boiling and then just constantly adding more water, which kind of defeats the purpose of a boil. I think the longest one I've heard of is, like, an 18-hour. And it's 4, 3, and 4, and 1, or whatever, like, normal.
So the boil is to get rid of excess water.
Yeah,
which also to like break down certain
compounds. But to get rid of.
Yep, basically.
Because you have to, you take like the grain and you filter hot water through it to flush out all the sugar, and then you boil that down to like the amount you want to ferment.
So then the water is evaporating, but the little sugars are hanging out.
I know in for like home brewers, 60 minutes is the standard boil time.
Yeah.
Though I've read in the McKellar beer book that the guy boasting about his weird experiments, he said he once made a 24-hour boil. But he's a weird guy. He makes weird beers. He might have just done that at his house.
Like an IPA?
I think it was a stout. He said it tasted like cake.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oof.
I think there's also, I mean, I don't know enough about the chemistry, but I think there's something that happens to like, was it like Maillard reaction or something like that? There's a word I've only read. I don't know how to say it. I'll just say it Frenchly. Maillard.
It's Maillard.
Yeah, there you go. That the darkness, there's something that happens there from heat exposure and something delicious. I don't know. I never understood it because chemistry is hard, and I don't
know. Science is difficult, man.
Well, last time we were here, we talked about the science.
You did mention a science or two.
There was science happening.
So with this book, with the story that he follows up
the real
with,
story.
Yeah, he follows up with the story.
Is it the real story?
It's the real story. Well, let's tell the story first and then talk about whether it was real or not.
So the real story is that the zebra was actually an injured Chinese sailor.
They threw him out of the boat, and he landed in the boat and broke his leg and got all fucked up.
And the
orangutan was his mother.
Pai's mother. She floated over and hung out.
And then the hyena was
a French cocksucker who ate people.
Yeah, was a sailor.
He was the ship's cook.
Yeah, he was the ship's cook. And then Richard Parker, the tiger, is Pai.
Well,
he says is he tells the story about how, well, actually it was...
We floated for a while.
It was four of us in the boat. Or it was three of us in the boat. No, it was four of us in the boat. First, the injured sailor who was dying, and then he died.
Well, the French guy's like, let me take that leg and use it as bait to get fish, because I haven't eaten in an hour and a half.
Yeah. He's got like a thousand biscuits. He needs snacks.
And then...
Go to charcuterie plate.
And
then the injured sailor dies. Like the zebra, and the Frenchman.
No, the Frenchman eats him perhaps before he dies.
He dies, and then the mother sees the French guy eating the meat as opposed to using it for bait. She's like,
he's
going to cut
him
up.
Mm-hmm. And then because he was going to just cut him up and use him for bait, but he sees
was like
him eating
like drying the meat and curing it to eat.
And then the French cook goes crazy and kills the mother.
Yeah, she tries to fight him, but because she has never fought living in the zoo, she can't actually fight the guy, and he cuts her head off.
And he's a big dude.
Yep.
But he's such a big fat dude, but he needs to eat every 47 minutes.
And then Pai kills the cook.
Right, because the tiger kills the hyena.
Yeah.
The Pai becomes the tiger.
Killed an alien's mother.
So this is the last like 5 pages of the book, you know. And then Pai tells the story about how, you know, it was actually all these people and then they all died and he was the only one left on the boat. And then he tells them, well, which story would you rather believe? Which is the better story? And then it kind of leaves it there.
Guys are like, I like that animal one better because cannibalism, not so cool.
That's a big
I mean, we'll eat a live squid and that's shit, but not
that's
that.
That's Koreans.
I mean, whatever. Yeah. Well,
you ever saw that? Old boy?
Old boy, yeah.
You have to put the chopsticks into the squid and wrap it in a certain way and then shove it as far down in your throat as you can. Otherwise, it fucking latches on and crawls back out and you suffocate.
Which old boy?
The original one. New shit one.
Not the shitty Dennis Quaid one?
No,
it was
like
Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin and one of the...
The only good acting Olsen twin.
The Olsen twin.
The Olsen triplet.
Yeah. There's another Olsen?
She's the younger Olsen. Elizabeth Olsen. She's Elizabeth? Also she's a Scarlet Witch in the Avengers.
Also looks like a normal person.
Yeah. she's not one of the twins. She's the younger sister.
Wow.
But yeah, you got to put the whole squid in your mouth and swallow it before it can escape. It's
I
really
think
fucking
I remember
gross.
That.
Yeah. It's difficult
the first thing
to watch.
He does when he gets out of the
Yeah.
And then, like, he actually ate it in the
yeah,
in the green movie.
It's real. But it's a real thing they do. Japanese people probably do it too, but I don't know, yeah.
Anyway, so this is like, and then the book kind of ends, and you know, which in sort of leaves the reader with the question, which story was real and which story do you prefer?
There's no fucking question which story was real.
Yeah, one of them is real.
It has to be the one with the people.
Yes.
Killing each other. Of course,
he didn't live with a tiger for 8 months.
No, and there's no reason why he would even tell that story if it wasn't real.
Yeah, why would he just like, let me just make something else up. I don't know, maybe my mom was a monkey and that got eaten by a tiger and that was cool. Hyena, excuse me.
So who was the tiger? Sorry.
He was the tiger.
He's the tiger.
He's the tiger.
He killed the hyena, which
okay,
was the cook.
So in his thing, he added an extra character.
He was the
in the
terror.
Animal thing.
He yeah, had, he was yeah. on his own. All that time with the tiger, it was just him hanging out, right. Pissing in corners of the boat.
Mm-hmm. Eating sea turtle.
No, tiger, that's my corner. And he just peed everywhere.
So because, you know, in the last five pages, the author changes the entire story. You know, changes what you think was happening with this. The whole, like, a whole, like, 250-page book of being alone on a boat with a tiger suddenly becomes an entirely different thing. And that really changes what the book is about.
I think that's what makes the book so popular, is this whole idea
of the twist
like,
ending.
Well, it's not like he's M. Night Shyamalan, but the idea, like, oh, things aren't what they seem. And it's this crazy allegory and fable kind of business. For the darkness and people and animals are better. That's why I think it was really popular. I think it was a big part of it.
Yeah, but I guess I want to know more about the allegory and the...
Like what is it? Right?
Yeah, like what's going on? Like what's a tiger represent? What's a orangutan?
I mean, there's that whole thing about how when he's doing all the religion stuff at the beginning and he asks all the time, like, what's the better story throughout?
Yeah.
Like, these things are so cool and they're interesting. Like, oh my God, it's magic. Ah. And so he tells his own.
A part of it, I think, the moral of the story is that you get to tell your own story, right? You get to tell your story how you want to tell it.
Well, he did, but nobody believed it.
Well, he actually convinced the Japanese guys.
Oh,
well, they
a
didn't
little
believe
but
that
they
it was real.
Really
they're just like,
they're
oh.
like, we'll put that in the report.
Okay.
Sayonara. They took it. They bought it. Like, yeah, that's...
I don't think they bought it. I think they were just willing to say, like, okay, this wasn't our fault, so you were in a boat by yourself. We'll leave all the parts out, and this is a real huge
He didn't
downer.
Mention his lawyer once, Hideki. Let's just keep moving.
Yeah, I don't think they believed that he lived with a tiger.
But, I mean, like, this story is presented as a story that's like, it'll make you believe in God or yep. whatever, right? And then at the end of it, I'm like,
That's where I read it differently.
Yeah.
Was that this story is so fantastical. Like, if you can believe this, then anything's really possible.
You can believe this, and you can believe some okay. shit about an ancient Jewish carpenter
that's a
in a
that's
place
a
with
twist.
No trees.
So that's why, yeah, everyone's like, I don't believe in God. And I was like, I thought that it was... Fantastical stories are more fun than the real thing, and you believe in it and have a great time, and why not?
That is
why
a
not?
Super cynical
yeah, I was like,
take.
Wow. Like
well,
my
that's,
take.
That's how I... Yeah, that's
I
me.
Was like, oh, if you can do this, you can... Yeah. I don't... Man, your view's harsh.
My view... More
I like it, though.
I was thinking more in the terms of like, oh, you know, thinking from Polly's perspective, right? Because he's the guy who's telling the story that'll make you believe in God. If you endured such a thing, how could you not look at him like, oh, that was the hand of, you know, like the footsteps in the sand story, you know, like
yeah,
that was
mean,
the hand of God there.
He survived by the hand of God or whatever, but, yeah, but the rest of it was just
killed like his mom's murderer. I'm like, that
yeah.
that doesn't make me believe
he stabbed a Frenchman to death.
God, a fat Frenchman.
Yeah, that fat bitch.
That ate people.
Oh, it was not bone.
It was Gerard Depardieu in the movie.
Nice.
He was, yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Gerard Depardieu. Perfect casting.
I think, I mean, it made me, as I was thinking about it, recently, a friend of mine, he has a family member on like, his side, his grandfather, and his wife's grandfather, both Holocaust survivors. And one of them came out of that extremely religious. And the other one came out extremely atheist. It's like, how could you go through that and believe in a God? And the other guy's like, how can you believe in that and live and not believe in a God?
Yeah,
and that's
sense.
What I was thinking about as I read this book. Like, what kind of a, like, this is that kind of an event for some person, perhaps? That's what I took out of it. Like, oh, yeah, I went through this crazy ordeal and survived. Therefore, I believe in a God. But he was also super religious before he even got on the boat.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the right way to go with it either.
There's no way the events of this story would not affect you one way or the other.
True.
Yeah.
But he's also like batshit crazy then if he thinks that his mom was an orangutan.
I feel like he knows that it's not true, but it's something like it's like PTSD. Like you choose to, that's how it's a coping mechanism. Like if you go through the rest of your life thinking, I watched my mom murdered by a Frenchman on a boat and I killed him when I was a child, it's going to fuck you up. And he said, oh, I live with a tiger, and I pooped off the side of a boat once in a while. That's much better. You can live a happy Canadian life.
I mean, shouldn't his mom have been like a peacock or something? Why an orangutan?
I think
she
was
never said she was a looker.
She had very long arms. I think it's because she was like an animal he'd known at the zoo for a long time.
Okay.
It was like something he was familiar with, and she was protective.
Tiger zoo, orangutan.
Like a friendly, nice, protective animal he'd known for his whole life.
Well, the whole thing with the tiger is that as a child, the dad showed him the tiger. Like, look how terrible animals can be. And that is also kind of hinted throughout. People are also animals, and animals
especially
in the zoo.
French people.
Well, the animals in the zoo see the humans as people, but they also see them as animals, and like that sort of duality. Like humans are people, but they're also animals at the end of the day. I think that was part of the
they're smart animals.
Fable too.
Some of them.
Well, we're we're animals that wear pants.
Dogs wear pants sometimes.
Only when you make them wear them, and you live in Williamsburg.
They only wear capris.
But was there any hint, before the very end, was there any hint that when he was on the boat, when he was on the raft or whatever, that it wasn't real and that it was actually
I'm not that careful a reader,
I guess,
because I didn't get it.
But, I mean, it's an unreliable narrator because he's telling the story. So he's not, going to lace it with clues about how he made everything up because this is so fucking horrible he had to make something else up.
So then what was the island? The island of eight people. What was that about?
I don't know if there was a direct metaphor for everything that happened to him.
Well, that's stupid.
There was also
then.
We didn't talk about it, but there was the part where he's like blind because he's been without food for so long.
Yeah,
and then
the tiger eats the other guy.
No, and he somehow runs into another shipwrecked
blind
person. Yeah, exactly. They're both blind, and they're just talking about how much they think about meat, and they dream about meat. And then something happens to him. Does he kill him? Or
no, the guy crawls on board and the tiger kills him and eats him.
The tiger eats him, yeah, exactly.
So was that another
Which
fucking random guy?
He killed him.
I mean, I think that it's just part of the tale. Maybe it's like a metaphor for his wanting someone to talk to, or just he's so alone.
Or to eat.
Yeah, he's just hungry and he's alone and someone finally comes up and he realizes, no, he'll never have someone else and a tiger eats him.
Like, so you think there's a real person?
I don't think there's a one-to-one representation for everything in the story.
There must be.
Why must there be?
Because otherwise it's fucking stupid and inconsistent.
Well,
how could you do it only part of the time?
Story.
Of course, but then it falls apart then if it's not consistent.
It doesn't fall apart.
Of course it does.
Why?
If the whole story is like things aren't what they seem, well, then they need to seem like something else. And you can't just be like, that doesn't seem like anything because I just pulled it out of my fucking tiger asshole.
Well, he sat by himself for 8 months. He probably had time to make some shit up.
Yeah, he was a teenage boy. He feverishly masturbated on that boat.
It just came out like dust, though.
Dehydrated.
There's no calories in him.
Using that saltwater lube. It burned. If things don't have a one-for-one ratio, it totally falls apart for me.
I don't think it needs a direct
I mean, sometimes thing, stuff everything. Just happens, but you would think that if he added in the, oh, we're both blind and my tiger ate him, it's like, that's got to mean something, but
I don't think he came across another
man in
the sea that he murdered.
People's teeth and plants, that's got to mean something. But I'm like, it's
kind of a complex metaphor for death.
It again ties back to our Moby Dick, where I'm like, I kind of need a shaman to walk me through this book and be like, this is what this means. And then, because I don't get it.
The book Sherpa.
The book Sherpa. It's like, oh, I just thought it was a boy talking about a tiger or whatever.
Drunk book Sherpas. That's what we are.
They're not the most trustworthy Sherpas.
We're not the best.
We might leave you at base camp.
Let's go on a fucking journey. Or we might stay at base
camp. Grab your beers. We're going up this mountain.
It'll be fine. Shut the fuck up.
Have you guys read any other Jan Sweet Potato Martel's books?
Thank you for using his full name. No, I have not. I actually just bought another one. I got the one that came out right before this. No, right after it. Beatrice and Virgil. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. I've read that one, and I've read the High Mountains of Portugal.
That just came out. It's like 2 years ago.
Yeah. So
are the only two that have come out since Life of Pi.
Okay. So I've read all this stuff. And spoiler alert, they all have orangutans.
They're the most fun animal.
They're
my favorite animal.
Is there a symbolism about orangutans that I don't know?
Well, they're the animal whose name is closest to the word orange, which is the color of a tiger.
OJ. And I know they, are.
And OJ killed people.
They live solitary lives.
Close to human DNA.
In terms of primates, they're actually pretty distant. More distant than chimpanzees or gorillas.
Except gingers. Gingers are more close to orangutans.
They have no soul.
Neither do orangutans, according to the church.
Which church?
Orangutans. Monkeys and all in general are like definitely a theme in all of his books. So
that's cool. Maybe he's a huge
sweet
fan of Dunstan checks
orange.
In.
That's they are. Interesting. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on his other book because
I don't really have to do that.
Short, quick read.
It's like it's really brief, 200 pages or something like that.
It's like
it's another allegory thing.
100%. And it's like one shit.
One shit.
Depends on the shit.
Well, they might knock it out tonight.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving shit.
It depends on how much meat you eat, but yes. It's a one-shot.
Pork for 4 days.
If I ate a Japanese sailor or whatever, I could read the entire book.
Do I have to ask the question? Is Pi a bitch?
Pi is not a bitch.
No. You know what? Richard Parker's not a bitch.
Richard Parker is also not a bitch.
Well, hold on. If you're going to go back to saying that they're not the same, everything is not one for one, then arguably Pi is the bitch. But Richard Parker's not the bitch.
But Pi survived,
well, they both survived
by himself.
Yeah. Regardless, either story you want to believe, they both survived.
Yeah, that's true. I guess.
And Pi took care of Richard Parker.
And there was some murder.
Richard Parker would have died without Pi.
So what kind of a bitch move is that to help the guy that almost ate you?
Sometimes, you know, you need a friend.
Life of Pi.
That's the tagline.
I guess he's not a bitch.
No, he's not a bitch. He survived for 8 months at sea by himself. We would all have been dead in 2 days.
Yeah, I was like, I'm having a hard time getting through this.
Like, I better just kill myself. I don't want to start fishing.
Like, why isn't the fan closer?
We have to walk over to the beers?
Plus, we're all way too pale to live in the Pacific Ocean in the sun.
Yeah, that's true. But he does briefly describe when he's rescued in the beginning, like, how miserable the recovery was, and, like, couldn't, his legs swelled up, and he couldn't walk.
Oh, yeah.
He just, like, pissed blood and shit out tiger meat or whatever.
Rightfully so.
I skipped over that part.
It's pretty brief. It's just kind of like, and then I was rescued, and this happened. And then, all right, that's cool. It's rescued from what? And then you kind of gloss, you kind of forget it because it just happens before you know what it is about, you know?
Do you guys have other questions? Is there the...
I mean, does it make you believe in God? That's the bigger thing. Because once I read that, I felt like, oh, we're reading the Nautical Alchemist, and I need to know what this is about.
It did not.
It did not make me feel closer.
I liked this book a lot more than The Alchemist, but no, it didn't work.
Yeah, it was definitely better than The Alchemist.
I guess I should say that. I like the book. I enjoy reading the book.
I fucking like this book a lot. Mm-hmm.
And the movie's good,
but
too.
But I also had the much darker reading than you guys.
Yeah, I know.
I guess the other is, do people need to read it?
Well, you know what? It depends on what you're kind of into. I mean, probably no longer now, but it was a big thing probably 10 years ago.
The movie was fucking huge.
A lot of people had this book and read it. In terms of, you know, this won the Man Booker Award in 2002 or 2001, whenever it came out. In terms of Booker winners, it's actually a very enjoyable and readable book. A lot of those are very
dense,
super literary, like, you know, learned kind of books.
Stuff.
Well, I mean, even the, yeah, sure.
You know a Man Booker reading it before you even go, oh, this was a Man Booker? Like, you know, like, you can tell that they're trying for that award.
Big time. They're, like, baiting it. And then you're like, I don't know if I'm in the mood for this 700-page stream of consciousness thing about the Holocaust.
They're all fantastic.
They are.
But you got to step up.
Well, maybe not anymore now that the Americans have started winning them. But yeah, this is one of the few. I mean, for a while I was trying to read all of them, and I probably read about 20 Booker winners, or probably 25 to 30 with the shortlist. This is one of the more approachable and easy ones. So if you're looking for, like, literary fiction.
It's a very easy read. Mm-hmm. It does not require any, like, you know, you're not going to spend 6 days, like, pondering
every page.
Yeah.
So, all right, tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter at drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at drunkguysbookclub.
Where can people find Finbeck?
We're located in Glendale, Queens, so we're actually not as far away from everything as you think we are. It's facebook.com/Finback Brewery or at Finback Brewery. You know, we're clever. Finback Brewery.
Very straightforward.
Thank you very much, guys, for coming by.
Whaley, good name.
Whaley good.
Thanks again for having us, Eric.
Bye.